Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Rhonda Stopy. She is an author. She has also mentored women for more than two decades. Her husband, Steve, has pastored the First Baptist Church in Patterson, California for 19 years. And she says, I'm still head over heels in love. And that's what we're going to talk about, which is her new book called The Marriage Mentor, Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. Rhonda, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you so much. It's good to be on your show, Joy.
Well, I'm wanting to ask you, though, it's really kind of a redundant question, and that is, but why this book at this time?
Well, why this book at this time? The Marriage Mentor, Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. It's interesting because I speak at women's events. Steve and I do marriage conferences. And when I ask this question to women, are you the wife you meant to be?
Mm-hmm.
They look down. A lot of them, tears begin to fall because we know the wife we meant to be. And often life just gets in the way.
Yeah.
We get tired, our hormones, not enough money, financial stress, all those things that just put a strain on marriage. So when I was a young bride, my idea of the wife I was going to be and the wife I was becoming was so different, and I knew I needed help. And Titus 2 calls the older women to teach the younger how to love their husbands and their children. Interestingly, that word love for husbands means to be his friend.
Yeah.
And I knew when I married Steve I wanted to be his friend for the rest of his life, but somehow when I'm freaking out over the crumbs on the kitchen counter, that friendship, he's looking at me like, that's a crazy lady. So I knew I needed help, and I went to, Steve was working with youth ministry at the time, and I went to some of the parents of our youth whose marriages I wanted to emulate and just really asked them for help. So I needed mentors. And so that's really the purpose of this book is imagine if you had, you know, an older couple that was interested in helping you build the marriage you long for, and that's really the marriage mentor, and it's always timely in every generation.
Well, what I love about the book is it is so real. I mean, when you talked about, you know, focusing on crumbs on the counter, and I thought, you know, I didn't realize that how you loaded a dishwasher was kind of handed down from Mount Sinai. It was kind of a religious thing. And, so anyway, but you ask a question which in premarital counseling that I've done is really a good one, but that is, how would you describe your parents' marriage? Why is that important?
Well, and that's, Steve and I do a 6-week premarital counseling with couples before Steve will marry them, and that's one of the first things we talk about is your family of origin and the marriages that you think is normal in your life, the way stress was handled, the way conflict was managed, however you were raised under that, it seems normal, even if you hated it, even if you know, I don't want that kind of situation coming into my marriage or into my family.
Yeah.
We have to learn, number one, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I'm dwelling on, I don't want to be like my mom, I don't want to be like my dad, I don't want that kind of a marriage, but I'm still dwelling on the negative, I'm still going to become what I'm dwelling on. So that, first and foremost, is to recognize this is what you came from is normal, this is what you came from is normal, now you're going to create your own normal. And then what is normal is we want to build a marriage that reflects Christ's love first and foremost. And that, to me, I think people miss that. I want to be happy. If only he would change, I'd be happy. That's one of the chapter titles. We really believe our happiness lies in Prince Charming. And it's funny because my granddaughter Everly's birthday is today, and I'm wrapping up some Cinderella princess movies for her. And I'm thinking, I'm one more time affirming your happiness lies in how Prince Charming treats you. And that's not the truth. But we ache for our worth and our value to be satisfied by being loved well. And the problem is we forget the purpose for which we were created is to be loved well by our Creator and to love Him well. So that ache that we have in our heart to find our worth in who loves us, God put it there so that we would find it in Him. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus said the priority of life is to love God with all of your being. The second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. We want to try to love others with Christ's love when we haven't learned how to love God the way He wants us to love Him. And then what happens is His love spills out of us, and the second commandment isn't hard to keep because He does it through us.
early on in your book, you have a section called The Danger of Unrealistic Expectations. And you, I love this little double column here of before marriage and after marriage. Would you just unpack that a little bit?
Well, it's interesting. And honestly, it's kind of been fun because Steve and I wrote this book together.
Yeah.
And just so that your listeners know, because I meet people all the time, they're like, well, I'm not a reader. My husband's not a reader.
Right.
And they read social media all day long. So you're a reader. We've established that. So Steve and I tried to write this in a way that it's really interactive and you'll want to keep hanging out with us.
Yes.
But he wrote in gray boxes the part for the husbands. And he's like, dude, I'm telling your wife, I mean, my wife's giving your life the long version. I'm giving you the cliff notes. If you read this, you'll know what your wife just learned. And then one step further, if you can't get your couple to watch it at all, I mean, read it at all, you can go to our website, noregretswoman.com, and watch the videos for free that Steve and I chat through each chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But unmet expectations, it kind of works in both of our situations. Like, I remember when, you know, Steve's like, let's grab something and let's just go. It's like, oh, it's free and free spirit. I love it. After you have a couple of kids and it's like, let's just go. You're like, oh, wait, I have to plan this.
Yeah.
I have to. And then it seems irresponsible, right? One of the things that Steve talks about, and it's kind of funny, he's talking about the kind of husband he expected he would be
mm-hmm.
and the kind of husband he ended up being. And he said, when I would talk incessantly, and he said, I was always a chatterbox when
yeah.
we were young, but all of a sudden this woman wanted to talk about every idea that rolled through her
yes.
head, and his tendency was, I just want to go work in the garage, go to work, come
yeah.
home, and he had to engage in that. But one of the biggest threats to happy marriages is when one or both parties have an unrealistic expectation of the other. And honestly, the before and after list you were talking about, I love his spontaneity is before marriage. After, he's irresponsible. We can sit for hours just holding hands. After marriage, he doesn't talk to me. That's true. He's a hard worker. After marriage, he works too much.
Yeah.
He's frugal. After marriage, he's a tightwad.
But it is true that sometimes the things that we seem to be attracted to become an irritant or an issue. Isn't that correct?
Well, it is. And, you know, falling in love is all in your mind, and staying in love is all in your mind. So in Philippians chapter 4, I love Paul's kind of formula. He says, think on whatever is good, right, honorable, praiseworthy. I love that he's giving us a way to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So if you've come to a habit of thinking on the negative about your spouse, you have to kind of go back. And first of all, thinking on negative turns to resentment, which turns to bitterness. And
yeah.
Hebrews warns the root of bitterness defiles many. It defiles your marriage. It defiles your parenting. In fact, James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. But if I'm not walking in righteousness, and of course that begins by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ,
yeah.
all of my books in the back have how to have a relationship with Jesus, because I'm an evangelist at heart. That's
yeah.
my heart's cry. But once I have that relationship with Christ, if I'm holding resentment against my spouse for maybe, you know, he's really not doing the things that he should be doing, but my sin is going to render my prayers powerless, and I'm not willing to exchange the power of my prayers for God to capture my children's hearts, for God to change my husband, I'm not willing to hold on to a resentment that turns to bitterness and exchange a powerful prayer life, because that's really where God can do a work. There's a story of Chuck and Angie in The Marriage Mentor,
mm-hmm.
and they were both virgins when they got married. Angie had come to the Lord when she was probably a junior in high school. They got married. She fully expected Chuck was going to want her in the marriage bed every night, found out he wasn't that interested, stumbled on the computer, the reason
yeah.
he was looking at what he shouldn't have been looking. She approached him. He was raised in a Christian home. He apologized. It was when the internet was new and coming into homes, and
mm-hmm.
parents didn't realize what their kids were looking at. In a junior high boy's mind, he told himself, I'll look at this to stay, quote, sexually pure until I get married, and then I'll put it away. No idea that he was opening the door to an addiction. But one of the things that Angie says through much of their story, she says, when I came to realize that my resentment toward Chuck was just as sinful as his addiction to pornography was when I began to repent and I could pray powerfully for God to change my husband.
Yeah.
And their story is really exciting, how God did do a work in,
sure.
in Chuck. And that's in The Marriage Mentor.
I was really an expert on parenting before I had children. And you have a section, well, chapter four, your marriage can survive toddlers and teens. You know, there's a terrible twos, but then there's a terrible threes, fours, and fives. You know, and I have four daughters, and I've got a 19-year-old at home still, which is why I'm losing my hair. But the point is, it does make a tremendous difference, doesn't it, in your relationship, in marriage.
It really does. And I think when I start out with a story, I watched my girlfriend Beth when she had her first child, and Beth and I had been friends since we were young, and it just seemed so wonderful, and the baby sucked on a pacifier and was on a swing all day long, happy as could be. I had my first child after I begged Steve, it's time, let's have a baby.
Yeah.
And she had colic, and she cried, and it was all of a sudden we disagreed on how to handle it. You know, he's like, just if she's going to cry anyway, let her cry in her bed. And I'm like, oh, no, she's in pain. And then you're thinking, this is going to be the way it is for all of our parenting. And, you know, it comes back to what was our normal when we were raising our, you know, being raised by our own parents. I remember when we had planted a church in Austin, Texas, actually Lakeway. So we lived on Lake Travis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And our youth were coming to Christ. Like, it was amazing what God was doing in these teenagers' lives. And a lot of ministry was on a boat. And when we would go out on the boat, Meredith always had to wear her one-piece bathing suit, and a lot of the other girls had on two pieces. Steve, who only had a brother and was raised pretty strict with dress codes and such, was insisting that Meredith should not wear anything but a one-piece bathing suit, because she would be the example for the other girls.
Right.
And so he and I chatted behind closed doors, not in front of Meredith. God had a hold on Meredith's heart. She was sharing her faith. Her friends were coming to Christ. And I asked my husband, is this really the line in the sand we want to draw?
Yeah.
And so he, you know, said, if she can find a modest two-piece, which I said, honestly, she can find not modest one-pieces, if that's what we're looking at. So long story, we agreed behind closed doors. But my kids never knew that I was disagreeing with Steve's idea.
Mm-hmm.
In front of them, that creates insecurity. In fact, your kids will never be more secure than when they see mom and dad united together. So long story, on the boat, you know, Meredith got to have her two-piece bathing suit that was modest, but some of these girls that were in these immodest bikinis, these young men that were coming to the Lord, would literally hand their T-shirt to the girl and say, can you put this on, because you're killing me. And so it was, not legalism, but more of let's let the Lord do the work. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have rules about modesty with our kids. We should. But behind closed doors, we have those discussions, not in front of our kids.
Also, having children has made such a positive difference in parents' lives, as far as you realize that you would do anything for them. And this is a wonderful change in character for some folks.
You know, and it's interesting because parents will say, I'll do anything for my kids to have, to make them secure, to send them out into the world, well-adjusted human beings. And yet, getting them to cry, they won't work on their marriages.
Yeah.
They won't. And they'll hold the line of resentment, or I deserve to be treated better, or my expectations have not been met. So they'll pour their life into their kids, maybe homeschooling them, or maybe their sports, or maybe their dance. And they will do everything they think to help this kid raise well-adjusted, love God because I'm telling them all about Jesus and taking them to church or whatever. But there's a hypocrisy in the Christian home between mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
In our 18 years of youth ministry, the number one thing we found that drove kids away from the church was hypocrisy in their Christian home.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. You tell that to a kid whose parents are meth addicts, and they're like, he loves me. He really does. You tell it to a kid whose parents are preaching that but not living it, and they're like, yeah, I've heard it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So what will we do to help our kids grow up securely and with the best chance to pursue Christ? And one of them is work on our marriage. And it is work.
Chapter 5, the grass is not greener on the other side. And yet we want to ignore that.
You know, the grass isn't greener on the side. The grass is greener where you water it. And I feel like that's one of the quotes that Steve's made in this in the Marriage Mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case, is when we start looking on the other side, we start neglecting the grass in our own yard. And there's in that chapter some really great points of these mentoring couples that we learned from, 8 insights we learned from happily married couples. Number 1, have realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Number 2, your husband or your wife is not like you. Don't expect them to be like you. Unity is not sameness. Number 3, think the best about your spouse. Number 4, choose to be kind to each other. Number 5, refuse to fantasize about being married to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, your spouse is not your enemy. Number 7, this is key, critical, love Christ more than you love your spouse.
Yeah.
And number 8, determine the word divorce will never be an option.
And yet we see it all over, and unfortunately it seems to parallel the numbers and the frequency in the church and outside of the church.
It is true. Here's a quote from Steve's little gray boxes in the book, Man to Man. There have been a number of times when men have come into my office confessing that they've had thoughts of leaving their wives for someone else who has grabbed their attention. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, most of these men had not acted on a physical response yet. Yeah. And he goes on, he talks about a man in particular came in to talk to him about it, and Steve was really just talking about, let's take a look at what the rest of your life will be if you decide to act on your impulse,
right.
And then you'll be better equipped to decide if this decision is what you want to make. And he walked him through, you know, the consequences not only to his family, his kids, you know, your wife might marry again, someone else is going to be raising your children, you're mm-hmm. going to get married again, likely have kids with another spouse, your first set of kids will be feel like they're kicked to the curb.
Right.
You know, there's just so many things at stake. And honestly, our God is our happiness. We think, and there's sadly, it's weaved through the Christian community, that God is more interested in our happiness than our holiness. And we worship the idol of happiness at whatever cost. And if that means to disregard my spouse, if that means to, you know, fill in the blank, we will pursue that. And believing, and I love, there's a scripture, I can't remember where that, where God says, you thought I was altogether like you. And God's like, I'm not like you. Don't assign my character qualities to you. And I find there's a story in The Marriage Mentor of a woman who married someone that was not who he presented himself to be. As the marriage became more and more difficult, not abusive, just not what mm-hmm. she had hoped for, she was becoming resentful. She was becoming miserable. It was reflecting in the way she was raising her kids. When she finally, through a godly mentor that spoke truth into her life, realized her own sin and repented, asked God to forgive her, God transformed her, gave her the joy of the Lord, which Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that joy spilled over into her parenting. Her husband never did change, but she said, I don't know what it is, but my God had just given me a love for him. All of her kids grew up to follow Christ, married godly spouses, and she said this, in the Bible, God took Joseph away from his godly father and had him sold into slavery. There were godly people that God took out of secure, wonderful environments to put them in difficult situations to mold them for the plan he had for their life. And she said, if my children had to live under watching me choose to love regardless of how my husband measured up to my expectations, if that's the kind of love they had to see Christ in me, the hope of glory, so that God could use it to draw them to Christ, raise them to marry godly spouses and serve the Lord. And here's what she said, I'd do it all again. I'd live through it all again because their value is in watching them. And you know, Malachi, the Bible says that God, what is it, remember the wife of your youth, that you will produce a godly seed. There's just such a value in trusting God to do the work, even when it's not maybe the most wonderful thing that we've experienced, and then choosing to think what is best, what is good, right, honorable. I've memorized the entire chapter of Philippians chapter 4 because it's such a good marching orders for the way we should live our lives.
If you've just tuned in, folks, I'm talking with Rhonda Stopi. The book is The Marriage Mentor, Becoming the Couple You Long to Be, and I might add, regardless of how long or how short you've been married. Now, in chapter 7, all he wants is sex, and yet she longs for romance. It is a balance, isn't it?
You know, it is, and the first thing that we have to realize about our spouse is that is their God-given need that they have given, and God gave our husbands a need to connect with the wife in the marriage bed. And what happens in our minds is we connect through conversation and touch and, you know, romantic experiences. And so we kind of want to assign that need to our spouse, to our husband, when in reality, your need to be romanced and talked to and connected with emotionally is just as deep as his need to meet with you in the marriage bed. Imagine if your husband came home for 2 weeks, and every night he said, I'm tired, don't talk to me, I've used all my words, people have talked to me all day. After 2 weeks, you'd feel neglected, rejected, lonely. And that's the same need that God has put in our husbands. There's a quote, let's see, in The Marriage Mentor, your husband's God-given need to connect with you physically means just as much to him as good communication means to you. A husband's sense of well-being and confidence is very much wrapped up in the sexual intimacy he enjoys with his wife. I don't think women realize that men struggle with feelings of inadequacy and loneliness. but when they feel loved and desired. So that's not like just, hey, it's Tuesday, let's do that thing we do, but it's pursuing them, making sure they know you want them in the marriage bed. And I know wives, I get emails, you know, from women that say, yeah, but why does it always have to be me? Why do I have to make all the sacrifices? Why do I have to? And honestly, we could get stuck there, and we could just say, I'm not going to until you don't. And that's what happens, right? Then neither one gives the other what is their God-given need to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And yet, who wins in that? And one of the quotes Steve says is, as a pastor and a biblical marriage counselor, in my experience, men whose wives pursue them sexually are deeply in love with their wives.
Yeah. You know, it hasn't helped because of YouTube. You see all of these exotic ways in which people have proposed. Mm-hmm. And I have had a number of wives say, you know, that isn't the way it worked out with me. You know, I mean, it was just kind of like, yeah, what about it? Okay.
Yeah, right?
So I know, you know, romance becomes really different to different people in what it means. Chapter 9, before we have to quit.
Sure.
Our marriage would be better if bad things would stop happening. And I guess the answer is, yeah, but they never stop happening.
You know, and the truth is, actually, you can watch the video. If you don't watch any of the other videos, watch the video for this chapter, chapter 9, on the NoRegretsWoman.com, because Steve tells his story. He shattered his hip in a dirt bike accident.
Yeah.
He was in traction for 9 days. Our house, we live in the country, the water pipes broke, 5,000-gallon water tank spilled into our house while Steve was at the hospital. All of these things that just kept happening. And as we decided, the joy of the Lord is our strength, we're going to fight for joy. It didn't mean we didn't cry. It didn't mean it wasn't painful. But we just together drew together in that trial. I remember Steve saying, I'm so sorry of all the things I had to do to take care of him after his accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you know what? I get to show you love for you in a way I've never been able to show you in the way I'm serving you in this. And I'm finding joy in showing you this type of love that I would never have had the opportunity.
Yeah.
But that came from fighting for joy, from keeping your eyes on Christ, asking God, make good of this. I don't know what good you can make of this. And your trial is not always about you. Your kids are watching. We still
yes.
had two of our kids in the home. They were watching us trust the Lord through those trials. And you know what? Now, as my adult children, and they're all married, and I will have my 10th grandchild probably today because my daughter's in labor, but I'm watching them. They have been equipped watching Mom and Dad walk through trials, and now they've had, you know, miscarriage, ectopic pregnancy. One of them had a child born with facial cranial deformities, and she's had 5 surgeries already. But they have learned God can be trusted even when those trials don't seem like they make sense. He can make good of them.
The book is The Marriage Mentor by Steve and Rhonda Stopy. It's a Harvest House publication. Where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
If you go to my website, noregretswoman.com, you can find all of my books. You can find links to my social media and how to buy the book, watch the videos. There's also another book that I have out called Real Life Romance. If you click on that, there's a bunch of couples from the book telling their love stories. One of the topics in The Marriage Mentor is to rekindle romance, and that's a good way to do that. And you can find them wherever books are sold.
Rhonda, thanks so much for being on LifeQuest.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.